side by side at the Vietnam summit.
Chairman Kim, it's an honor to be together.
Former Trump lawyer goes before Congress.
I'm going to let the American people decide exactly who's telling the truth.
Michael Jackson's family fires back.
We know our brother. Michael wouldn't do anything like that.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Capital One.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan.
To see you.
A warm greeting for President Trump in Hanoi, Vietnam, on a day when he shook hands with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
I thought the first summit was a great success, and I think this one hopefully will be equal or greater than the first. And we made a lot of progress, and I think the biggest progress was our relationship.
While in Washington, his former lawyer is prepared to tell Congress the president is a con man and a cheat.
I look forward to being able to, in my voice, to tell the American people my story.
Two major stories unfolding. The tale in Vietnam has been one of pageantry and expectations so far. CBS's Margaret Brennan begins our coverage of the second high-stakes summit from Hanoi.
We saw the two together for the first time tonight since their historic encounter in Singapore some 8 months ago. And since that time, neither side has even agreed to what denuclearizing North Korea actually means. The goal of this summit is to draft a roadmap and sketch out the specific next steps. So once again, President Trump is granting Kim Jong-un a prominent position on the world stage. So far, that is all the U.S. has offered. North Korean officials complain that they have given up more than they've gotten, having paused nuclear and missile tests for more than a year. But it continues to develop its nuclear program.
Well, Chief Washington correspondent Major Garrett says this summit may be a stepping stone to a third.
Senior administration officials tell me this is not going to be the place where the deal
right.
is created. It's going to be where perhaps some orientation toward next steps will be laid out. We agree to do this, and after that, then there'll be another summit to keep moving this process forward. Remember, the North Koreans love process. President Trump is all about immediate results.
Mm-hmm.
That itself is part of the clash.
Well, it'll be late at night in Vietnam when President Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, goes before a House committee in Washington. He's been dismissed by the White House as a liar. Cohen is set to go to prison for lying to Congress. But CBS's Nancy Cordes says he's prepared to tell his side publicly, armed with evidence.
Among the documents Cohen says he'll turn over today, a copy of a check written to Cohen from Mr. Trump's personal bank account after he became president to reimburse Cohen for hush money payments to porn star Stormy Daniels. Cohen also alleges the president was involved in potential tax fraud, inflating and deflating his assets at times to reduce real estate taxes.
WikiLeaks, which I had nothing to do with.
Cohen also claims the president knew of contacts between his longtime advisor, Roger Stone, and WikiLeaks just days before the 2016 Democratic convention, and that there would be a massive dump of emails that would damage Hillary Clinton's campaign.
I've never used racist remarks.
Cohen says that assertion is a lie, too. While President Obama was in office, Cohen claims, Mr. Trump once asked me if I could name a country run by a black person that wasn't a blank hole. And he told me that black people would never vote for him because they were too stupid.
Well, CBS's Paula Reed says the WikiLeaks testimony is what could imperil President Trump the most.
It's our understanding that the president has consistently told everyone, including Robert Mueller, that he was not aware of this. So if the president's written answers to the special counsel, because we know this is something the special counsel is focused on, if those answers do not match what other witnesses and documents say, the president could have a problem. Now, just because Michael Cohen says this is what happened, that is not enough to establish that the president lied.
The 13 Republicans backed a Democratic effort in the House to pass a resolution to block President Trump's declaration of a national emergency to get border wall money. Now it's in the hands of the Senate. If it passes there, President Trump would be forced to issue his first veto. Pakistan is offering new talks with India to try to de-escalate rising tensions between the nuclear-armed neighbors. Pakistan's military shot down two Indian warplanes. India says it shot down a Pakistani jet and carried out an airstrike on what it called a militant camp in Pakistan. Heavy rain is causing damaging flooding in Northern California. CBS's Meg Oliver is covering.
The Russian River reached flood stage last night. As of this morning, it's already 5 feet above flood level. They're also concerned about major damage to local schools and businesses. This river is still expected to rise for another 18 hours.
From the sound of things, just about everyone made the best of a bad situation aboard that Amtrak train that was stuck behind a tree in a snowstorm in Oregon. Marcia Trujillo and other passengers were stranded over two nights, some 36 hours.
We really wanted for nothing except for maybe someplace comfortable to lie down and a shower.
Leaders of seven major drug makers have blamed the health care system for high prescription drug prices. Americans are projected to spend up to $550 billion on those medications this year. CBS's Anna Werner says lawmakers in both parties want action.
Senators pressed top pharmaceutical executives about their company's pricing practices.
For something which over-the-counter is $200 a month, and we're paying $2,600 a month, it is almost as if the taxpayer has stupid written on their face.
The pharmaceutical leaders pointed much of the blame of soaring drug costs to middlemen known as pharmacy benefit managers. Those executives would not commit to lowering the list price they charge for drugs.
No one company can unilaterally lower list prices without running into financial and operating disadvantages that make it impossible to do that.
Michael Jackson's family is pushing back against an HBO documentary that airs this weekend. Two men allege that when they were boys, the King of Pop sexually abused them.
This documentary is not telling the truth. There has not been not one piece of evidence that corroborates their story.
Marlon and Taj Jackson sat down with CBS's Gail King.
It's always been about money. I hate to say it, when it's my uncle, it's almost like they see a blank check. Because they've been taken care of their whole life.
The Michael Jackson estate is suing HBO. There's a new look at student debt. CBS's Pam Coulter says young people are confronting limitations and regret.
More than 3 out of 4 millennials burdened by student debt say knowing what they know now, they would have done things differently, such as choosing a cheaper school or applying for more scholarships. Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick says the debt has forced many to put off a major life or financial milestone.
About 1 in 3 of these millennials say they delayed buying a house. 28% say they delayed buying or leasing a car.
1 in 5 delayed having children because of student loan debt. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
In St. Louis, a contentious meeting of the United Methodist Church, the country's second largest Protestant denomination. In the end, members voted to toughen church bans on same-sex marriage and the ordination of LGBT clergy. A bid to allow local churches to decide those policies was shot down. And that's the CBS World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.